Welcome in the name of Jesus, the Savior of the world. We are gathered to worship, to proclaim Christ crucified and risen, to remember before God our sister Harriet, to give thanks for her life, to commend her to our merciful Redeemer, and to comfort one another in our grief. Will you please stand for the thanksgiving for baptism? When we were baptized in Christ Jesus, we were baptized into His death. We were buried, therefore, with Him by baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might live a new life. For if we have been united with Him in a death like His, we shall certainly be united with Him in a resurrection like His. Eternal God, Maker of heaven and earth, who formed us from the dust of the earth, who by breath gave us life, we glorify You. We glorify You. Jesus Christ, the resurrection and the life, who suffered death for all humanity, who rose from the grave to open the way to eternal life, we praise You. We praise You. Holy Spirit, author and giver of life, the comforter of all who sorrow, our sure confidence and everlasting hope, we worship You. We worship You. To You, O blessed Trinity, be glory and honor forever and ever. Amen. And let us join together in raising our voices with the entrance hymn, How Great Thou Art. grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
And let us pray. O God of grace and glory, we remember before you today our sister, Harriet Eiler Copeland. We thank you for giving her to us to know and to love as a companion in our pilgrimage on earth. In your boundless compassion, console us who mourn. Give us faith to see that death has been swallowed up in the victory of our Lord Jesus Christ, so that we may live in confidence and hope until, by your call, we are gathered to our heavenly home in the company of all your saints, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Please be seated.
She was a great student in high school. I was a late bloomer. She always knew she wanted to teach. So we both had part-time jobs and saved money. And she was 2 years older than me. Well, I always called my younger sister, wasn't as better looking as you. She looked younger. So we kind of settled at that. But she went off to USCG to get her degree in teaching and her master's, and I got into NC State 2 years later on a provisional. I had a professor tell me, he said, son, you can either make A's or go to A's, it's your call. I got smart and perfect. Those of y'all know the same thing that I'm young and dumb. We had numbers and you went. Thank God for part-time jobs and College Foundation, and I'm sure some of you bankers here well remember College Foundation and loaning money, and they didn't let you fall. If you studied, you got through college. I got to pre-med at NC State, went to the University of Georgia. How about yourself? Harriet was in her Mecca teaching third grade. And she decided I had worked hard enough, she wanted to help a little bit in this classical area. So she gives me, I don't remember what the club or the VP, maybe a gas credit card to use in my 47 student budget. She said, now use this to work, to go to class in Athens. I said, sure enough. Well, at the end of that first year, my roommate and I decided we wanted to see what Beach Mountain looks like. That was that new ski place in North Carolina. Up we go. And we had a large time. It was time to come home to Athens, and we had less than $2. Gas was cheap back then. Wasn't that cheap? And we were home. Got this trip. So we put, I don't know, $10 or $12 on the gas in the car and down that mountain. He said, what's your sister going to say? I said, we'll find out at the end of the month. I tell you the truth, she didn't disappoint me. But that was Harriet, who ate this. But she called me once. I guess I was in my third year of med school in Georgia. She said, I've met a young man, and I think he's the one. I said, well, tell me that. She said, well, he went to UNC. I said, tell me more. She said, well, he works in a mill. I said, well, that's great. He's happy working in a mill. That's where they all been. And their relationship flourished. And 54 years ago, they were married by Carl Harmon at St. Andrew's Episcopal Church, which is the mother church in Greensboro. And Carl was straight as a stick. And by the time Jim's fraternity brothers got through with Carl, I'm not sure he survived that wedding. It was a great time. I believe the reception was at 6, you know, if I remember. Then I turned around and went back home. But Jimmy was the firstborn. James Reuben Copeland, the son. My left hip figure out of how the hell they know. He was Jimmy. Then, of course, Jason came, Spence, and you boys were the love of her life. And she knew full well you were born on third base heading home. But she thought academics were the real deal. And she and I both almost didn't get to college, and she appreciated it. And you boys were studying in that house, 1, 2, 3. She was on top of all of it. Every extracurricular activity, every sports. Harriet was there. Harriet was there with the teachers and with the administration. And y'all excelled and did great. Failure was not an option with you boys. And thank God for that. She loved and doted on Jim Copeland from the day they were married until Tuesday. You were her life. She loved you and everything for you. And towards the end, she got some help. Diane, who's a caregiver, wonderful lady. I spent a lot of time with her this week. And, of course, Ron the gardener, he has to look after all that yard. It's just overwhelming, but they do it. When adversity hit Harry's heart, he rose to the occasion and did what needed to be done. We talked all the time on the phone, but we didn't talk about problems. We talked about children and grandchildren. And that was our whole life. It just, everything revolved around them and her life. And y'all had a wonderful meal. She used to love to come to Pope, and she loved the beach, she loved. And Robin and I had moved to Harper's Island 10 years ago, and in the last 4 years we moved to Pope when I was no longer at the captain on the Star. We went to a little easier place to look after. But she loved eating downtown. One time I went and picked him up. I said, we're going to a local place. Little old guy, but the best thing we know, called Spot Grill. Let me out and put up a Spot Grill. And Jim loved the Spot Grill. And they had, before they owned the family, owned 2 or 3 restaurants, and he caught all the seafood. It was wonderful. Soft shell crab sandwich plates were his favorite. I've never seen anybody run like Jim Copeland. We ran in there, and Sammy deals with cash. He's kind of old school. And so Harry goes up to get Jim to order Jim on 3 sandwiches. He was hungry. And Harry had to come back to her purse and get more money. And she came back and said, Jim Copeland, I'm not spending $45 for your uncle ever again. So every time we went out there, she limited him to 2. She was to bring me down out by you that third train. And the spot really rose. Harry was there. She didn't quit a puppet. Grandchildren, Miss Haley, you're about to go to college. And you're going to make somebody to see you. And you don't have to look at curmudgeons like me, or make up your own mind, look at Georgia, depending on my coat. You'll make the right decision and you'll have fun. Lizzie, Ben, I missed one. Tom, there you are, buddy. Y'all are all in wonderful schools. And you were her life. And she was so proud of your academics and your music, your theater. You had a good meeting. I know you won't disappoint me because she's watching us. And Jimbo, you'll get through this. You'll never get over it, but you'll get through it. And these boys love you. And we're going to have enough help. They need your counsel. These grandchildren need your counsel and your wisdom. Your mind sharper mind. We'll get all the help we need, the cookie eggs, the water clothes, all the stuff, all that stuff. You got a lot of reason to hang tough. It's going to be difficult, but you got a lot of reasons for being here to help. You have the faith, Harry. Rest in peace, God, well done. And I'll see you on the other side.
I hope the microphone works. I don't think it is. Well, kind of joke would, I might not be the smartest Copeland, but I'm at least smart enough to know not to follow my older brother when it comes to making any type of speech. If you know Jimmy, I said, there's no way I'm going last. You're going last. So my mother always loved Christmas. If anybody knew her, it was the absolute highlight of her year. It was her thing. She liked everyone to get together. It was the Super Bowl and everything in her life tied up into one for her. And this year, I'll never get to do this without crying. The day after Christmas, the day before she passed, Alicia and I were talking and we said, God, she just had a peace this year. Starting 2 weeks beforehand, Jimmy's nodding. In years past, she would get all anxious and worried about food and this, that, and the other, but not this year. She was just wonderful. She was pleasant. My mother loved presents. If you had a perfect Christmas tree to her, you would not even see the tree. It would be an entire mountain of presents. And that's how we were raised. Every year for Christmas, it was almost embarrassing how many presents we had. But as we got older and nobody needed anything, this created a problem for Harriet. And the problem was, what do you get all these people? Don't kid yourself. She still bought tons of presents. This year, I just have to bring up, it's probably the most legendary present I've ever gotten from her. I got a tiny 2-inch bobblehead doll of Richard Simmons. And it was supposed to talk. You know, you hit the little button and it's supposed to say things. It didn't work. And so even when I got it, I took a picture of it and texted Spencer because I'm like, this is just hysterical. Like, because it's like a running joke in the family. Like, what is Harriet going to get you this year? So I got a Richard Simmons doll. And then the next day, of course, after I opened it up, I lovingly put it there with my wife's beautiful nativity scene. And she has, and it's one of these nativity scenes, you know, you spend all this money on it, you know, they're beautiful statues, and there's Richard Simmons. And she's like, that's not going to be there. Well, when I got back from Canada, it was still there. And I said, well, you know there's now a permanent addition to your nativity scene, right? And she said, yeah, I know. That's where it's going to stay. How do you describe my mother? What I did was I went out there and I looked at a lot of people, posted stuff on Facebook. I used my own knowledge about my mom. How do you describe her? I just wrote some down. She was a piece of work. I think that's an understatement. An elemental force, true. Somebody put on Facebook that she was the sweetest lady, and we just kind of laughed as a family. We're like, well, yeah, I appreciate that sentiment, but I don't know that those who know her the best would call her cuddly. People call her a force of nature. A nickname we have. You know, every family, I laugh, we have twins in our family, and they always say that twins have a special language. Well, me and my two brothers have a very similar language because we are very close and grew up together. And all I have to do is say, well, the hurricane came to the house. And because our nickname for Mom was the Hurricane Hatsy. Her nickname growing up was Hatsy. And we all knew that because she was, as another person said, that woman was hell on wheels. Apologize. Who told me that was my good friend Brett Brewer, who's still a great friend with me today if he's listening. Love you, Brett. He called me yesterday. His poor dad, Harold Brewer, had the misfortune of being the principal at Williams High School for all three of us when we were there. And if you know how my mother advocated for us, holy cow. My mother was fierce. She was authentic, no doubt. You always knew exactly where you stood with Harriet. She was unique. There'll never be another one like her. She was always herself. She didn't know any other way to be. She would know, sometimes even in very colorful language, exactly what she thought. My mother was tough as nails. And she had to be. I'm telling you, raising up three boys like she did, she had to be tough. But I also want to say this. My mother was gracious. If anybody needed anything on earth, she dropped everything to do it for them. She was loving. Now, granted, she was loving in her own way, but there's no doubt that she loved her friends and family dearly. Also, she was self-sacrificing. And I'm going to come back to that here in just a minute. This was tough for me. My closest friends know, and my brothers know. I had a difficult relationship with my mother. We had a tough time being in the room together for more than 5 minutes. And it's not that we didn't love each other. We just clashed. It was tough for me to figure this out. So, when in doubt, I turned to God. And I got out my Bible and the scripture. And I went to the wisdom of Solomon in Proverbs 27:17. And some of you, I'm sure, will know this. Is iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. My mother was not iron. She was a titanium alloy, I assure you. But we clashed. But as the older I got, the more I realized that the reason we clashed is that she and I were the same person. We were very much alike. And if I can even say it, although I can see parts of my mother and her brother and my brothers, I think I'm probably the most like her. Razor edged. With that said, I know I inherited some great things from my mother. A fierce loyalty to my friends and family. My mom would do anything for those who she cared about. It didn't have to be family. And we've got people in here that are like family. And I see some of you there. And you know what I'm talking about. She'd do anything for you. I got the same thing. Those in my circle of trust, I'll drop anything to help you. I got an ability to see the truth quickly and be unafraid to speak that truth. And she gave that to every one of us. We need more people who will speak truth in this world. Tell it like it is. There's not your truth, there's the truth. And my mother certainly made sure you knew the truth. But most importantly, the best part about Mom's love, and it seems strange given our relationship, but she was the genesis for me in showing me how God so loves us to Christ Jesus. So what in the world do I mean by that? In so many ways, my mother's life was forfeit for those that she loved, for her boys. You can view her entire life as nothing but a self-sacrifice for her kids and her grandchildren. She gave up her dreams. She gave up teaching. She gave up fun for us. And we're all better men for that. There was not a game, a recital, a concert that she did not attend. I have great memories of her coming to my daughter's soccer games. I see some of her soccer teammates here, and I appreciate that. She advocated for us with the same fierceness that she approached everything in life. If you crossed her boys, you better look out. She took care of us. And you know, so much of our view of God comes from our parents. There's a reason when you read your Bible, it's Father God, Father God. Most people don't realize that. Your first view is your parents. Before you can really even understand and read your Bible, it comes from your parents. And so my mother was my first encounter with what we call agape love. And that's God's perfect love for us as His created children. I wanted to read from the book of 1 John, chapter 4. This isn't in your, this is me. Chapter 4, verses 9 through 12. This is how God showed His love among us. He sent His only one Son into the world that He might live through Him, that we might live through Him. This is love. Not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and His love is made complete in us. You see, God made everything for us. He sent His Son to die so that we may live. And all it takes is acknowledging that truth and then repenting your life before that truth. If you make it too hard that a third grader can't understand our faith, then you've made it too hard. Christianity boils down to life change through a choice that should be easy through God's own self-sacrifice, a choice that was easy for me because I could see God in my mother and the self-sacrifice that she made for me. We all know that she loved her boys. She loved her grandkids, just like God loved us, a perfect love, unabashed love. And Harriet had no boundaries in that love. A funny story. My daughter figured that out early in life because she knew if she asked Mimi for anything that she could get it. I remember in college one time I mentioned to my mother that I needed a pair of shorts. 3 days later, a package came with 5 pairs of shorts in it. It was an unending love. And I just see God's love mirrored through my mother, just like Christ and that self-sacrifice that God made through us through His Son. Was mom's love unconventional? Was it different? Yeah, no doubt. But now 49 years into my life, I can say that she loved me and her whole family, and that we loved her back totally and completely. So how do I end talking about my mom, or Harriet, as Dad called her? Well, Harriet was a whiskey-swilling, chain-smoking, sailor-mouthed son of a gun. But she also loved her family completely and in the way she only knew how. And for that, we will all be forever grateful.
Jason's set expectations too high. I'm following a guy who is training to be a pastor and talks well, and an uncle who's kind of like a stand-up comic. And, you know, they also stole about half of my material. So. But this was hard anyway. I wasn't prepared for this one. Not yet. Not now. Not her. I really don't ever remember my mother being seriously sick. I mean, save for a hip replacement surgery she had a few years back. I don't think she'd been in the hospital since Spencer was born, except visiting other people. I mean, sure, she was 79 and a heavy smoker. I mean, but she seemed so healthy and happy, and as Jason was talking about, that extended through this Christmas in a profound way. I mean, over the last 2 weeks, she spent time, good time, with all three of her sons, with all four of her grandchildren. You know, we exchanged gifts. We enjoyed food. We laughed and barked at each other. I mean, Jason has a bit of a... We had a little barking going on when we were there, but only through that sort of combination of joy and stress that holidays bring. Day before she died, she traded texts with my wife, my daughter, sat down with my cousins for hours. My daddy went to bed first, like he usually always did. My mama came to bed later and turned out all the lights. And he woke up in the morning, went, got coffee, tried to wake her up. She was gone. It was unexpected. My father said just that on Tuesday, every day since. Wasn't supposed to be this way. I worried about how she might do when I was gone. Why did this happen? Why did this have to happen, Jimmy? And of course, I don't know that. Our minds aren't privy to God's plans, His purposes. But I do know this. My mother's life was purposeful and meaningful. And Jason went through a lot of that. But I'll go over some of it in a slightly different way, parallel. Because more than anything else, my mother enabled others to strive, to thrive, and to flourish. Her husband, her sons, any other friends and family she touched. And so as we face the fear and uncertainty, the grief and confusion, as we wrestle with the reality of life without her, I want to spend a little time just talking about where she came from and the person she was. So Harriet Spencer Eiler was born in 1943. You know, Uncle Kenny alluded to some of this about her parents, his parents, you know, Frank Augustus Eiler. We called him Grandpa. My other cousins called him Pop. He was 33. Our Nani, the former Cornelia Pierce, she was 28. We just figured out how this all worked exactly this week when we had to get things together for the services here. She was born in Greenville, Pennsylvania, a little town in Pennsylvania, oil company. Just a short ways across the Ohio border, about 50 miles south of Youngstown, a little east, northwest of Youngstown, south of the Lake Erie. And you know, they were there. They didn't have any tie to the place, but Grandpa was a commissioned Army officer, and this was World War II, and there was a camp set up by the Department of War a year before. They didn't stay there very long. You know, the war was over, decommissioned. Nani and Grandpa went back to their native Syracuse, where Kenny was born. Grandpa's grandfather was a German immigrant, 19th century. Nani's roots went all the way back to 1625. Thomas Pierce came over to Massachusetts from England. Through Nani, we're cousins to two presidents. Nani was educated at Rosemary Hall in Bennington. In a later era, she'd have probably lived a successful life in law or letters, but... You know, as it was, she was a homemaker. Although after she and Grandpa retired in Moorhead City, she was invaluable to the Carteret County Clerk's Office. Grandpa had undergraduate and graduate education. This was a rarity at the time. But he also was an outdoorsman. He loved to fish. It's no surprise that my mom married a hunter and a fisherman. And late in life, he took up painting. And you can see that artistic flair he had. You could see it in my mom. You can see it in many of her progeny. Nani schooled my mother in decorum, punctilious etiquette, grammar, always got the proper handwritten thank you notes. Nani also passed along her wry, sardonic sense of humor and an insistence that things just be done right. So Harriet would arch her eyebrow. We don't use cell phones at my dinner table. Grandpa instilled in her a military-style discipline. Our beds were always made with hospital corners. But she also inherited from Grandpa, you know, an irascibility. Jason went into this a little bit, Kenny as well. She wasn't slow to anger. But she was quick to forgive. And she was always willing to give. She got from Grandpa a forthrightness, an almost audacious willingness to speak one's own mind. And, as Jason sort of talked about there at the end, we all who knew her well know that her preferred verbiage was a little better suited to the military barracks than to the tea parlor. So in 1950, Nani and Grandpa moved the family south to Greensboro. He took a job in the textile and apparel industry, employed a lot of folks around here back in the day. Mama, as Kenny said, attended the local public schools, did great at Grimsley, thrived academically, was first chair flute in the all-state band, played volleyball. She also marched for civil rights after the World War sit-ins, and people were challenging the racial segregation in her hometown. And she babysat and waited tables, as Kenny was talking about. The family didn't have a lot. She helped for the family. She helped put herself up in on-campus housing when she matriculated at what was then the University of North Carolina Women's College down the street. 2 years after she was there, it was rechristened UNCG, UNC Greensboro, when they let men in. And she got a bachelor's and master's in education, started as an elementary school teacher. Her senior year at UNCG is when she met my father. I just got some of these details this week. They met at the Bachelor's Club of Greensboro. And my father, you'll see the pictures in there, my father was a dashing young gentleman, and my mother really caught his eye. Although they didn't start dating for another couple years, another meetup at the Bachelor's Club in Greensboro. And they dated for 2 years and then got married in 1968. The wedding was carefully timed. My daddy, this is important to him, carefully timed the wedding between hunting seasons. And carefully timed the honeymoon so that before they jetted off to Montego Bay, they spent a little time in Fort Lauderdale so they could make sure to get U.S. television to watch the Nixon-Humphrey presidential election returns. My parents, Jason, they're interesting people. They're different people. They're idiosyncratic people. They can be difficult people. He talked about Zane Harriet. My kids will imitate it. They'll also imitate my mother. Jim. But it worked for them. And it worked for them for 54 more years. It wasn't always easy. The first pregnancy ended in miscarriage. Daddy bought her beloved schnauzer, Heidi. I came along a year later, Jason a couple years after that. We moved from Truett Drive over to the bigger house on North Fairway. So we have room when Spencer came along a few years later. When Jason came along, she gave up her teaching career to focus on the family. And focus she did, as Jason said. I don't think Burlington, North Carolina had ever seen a mother quite like Harriet Eiler Copeland. And my earliest memories of her, of course, revolve around arts and crafts and games, but also reading. I mean, she was a voracious reader. The house was filled with books. And I remember the little orange-red primers where she taught us to read at very young ages. And then we went on to chapter books. And I was quite fond of this thick children's encyclopedia at a very young age. So, when we went on from Barbara Boland Play School to Burlington Day School, we were pretty advanced in our reading, and that led to some mischief. The only time I ever got in trouble in school, the only time I got sent home for the day was in kindergarten, and they were, doing some phonics and putting prefixes on the board, and they put up SH. And of course, I came out with a four-letter word.
My defense was that my mother said it all the time at home. But overall, you know, I did well in school. So did my brothers. It's no accident that, you know, my mom, she made us do our homework after the snack, as Kenny said, before we could play games or watch TV. No accident. She is an educator, had three sons who each got advanced degrees from fancy schools. And as Kenny alluded to, nothing made her prouder than the academic successes of her sons and now her grandchildren. As Jason said, she was a fixture at all of our school sporting and church events. I mean, she brought us here to Macedonia. We went to Sunday school, weekday church school, vacation Bible school, confirmation class, before that communion class, Luther League, church Christmas plays out back here, the Boy Scout Troop 39. Never missed a sporting competition, like Jason said. That's whether it's Rec League or Y League, Country Club, Turrentine, Williams. She went to all of my home cross-country meets at Williams, and cross-country's really not a great spectator sport. She, of course, was borderline omnipresent in our school. She was, when we were at Burlington Day School, she was vice chairman of the board. She organized the annual fundraising gala and auction. She was always a chaperone for school field trips. Unfortunately, in middle school, she was also a chaperone for school dances. You know, we have fond memories of my mother. So do all our friends, all the way up to graduate and professional school. Absolutely, as Jason was saying, they've been posting on Facebook, sending me texts, sending me emails with these stories. Jason sold some of the good ones. But, I mean, a good friend of mine called her a lioness in a den of alpha males. And that's what she was. Another good friend of mine since kindergarten told me he talked with my mother more in the last few years than he ever had before. And when he was younger, he said, frankly, she terrified me. I do want to emphasize a couple things. First, I mean, her organization, her steadfast attention to details, she had everything done. It not only enabled our growth, her sons, but also her husband's. I mean, my daddy was running two textile businesses. He was on bank boards, university boards, church boards, nonprofit boards, jetting up to New York for business, jetting around the world on hunting and fishing adventures. And I want to emphasize my mama, you know, she gave up a lot, but she did live a thriving and exciting life outside the home. So she enjoyed annual ski trips to Vail. She always went to the GGO golf tournament down the road, often went to the Masters in Augusta, went to the Carolina Games, always went to the ACC tournament, be it in Greensboro or Landover or Atlanta. Later in life, she and my daddy always would go to Costa Rica, go to Turks and Caicos. He might go fishing. She might sit there reading her book. But they got along. And, of course, when she left us, she left detailed instructions for the babysitters, handwritten in thick black ink on a yellow lined paper with details down to when we went to the bathroom and brushed our teeth. And I kid you not. But... but she did do this, and she took us along sometimes, sometimes with Daddy, sometimes herself, sometimes one of the two grandmothers, or both. We went to New England and New York and Canada and Bahamas, Orlando, went to Australia to the Great Barrier Reef, the Outback, crocodile expeditions. But, you know, what I remember the most is not all this exciting stuff, but the familiar stuff. And that's, you know, what's going to, I think, sustain me in the days ahead. The way she tended her flowers in her garden. We always had roses in the kitchen. The plants, the flowers around our home here in Burlington and the vacation house in Arapahoe, I mean, they bloomed so beautifully, almost year-round. The beloved beach. Others talked about how she loved the beach, just sitting there reading book after book, sunning herself. And with us, when we were kids building sandcastles, these little drip castles down by the water, or collecting shells, or fiddler crabs, or back here in Burlington, getting lightning bugs in the backyard. You know, Jason talked about her giving of gifts and how much she loved Christmas, but it was, you know, it was all the holidays. It was carving pumpkins. It was decorating Easter eggs. It was, you know, setting off fireworks with her cigarettes, right? I mean, And every holiday up till now, all of her sons and later all of her grandchildren got cards for every holiday with notes handwritten from my mother. And these gifts and cards make sense because it wasn't just our family. It was friends in need. Jason alluded to some of this. I mean, Pat Poovey here, when she was dying, my mama was there for her month after month. You know, her friend Jen Street, I know, is out there. You know, when Roger, my daddy's dear friend, was dying, there month after month. This, and what caused the tension this Christmas when I was around her, she was in a remarkably good place, but she was... But her mind and heart were elsewhere. They were her friend Maud, whose daughter Caroline had a lung transplant right before Christmas. And I know she's got a good friend who's up in Richmond right now who could use her and wishes she was here. You know, sometimes this was all too much. Sometimes we had to tell her it was okay. Sometimes we had to tell her it was necessary for her to get help. But she never ceased caring. Never ceased trying, never ceased giving. For her beloved friends, for her beloved family, when things were tough, Harriet was always at her strongest, at her best. So all the vicissitudes of life, be it a failed marriage or a failed business, physical or mental illness, depression or addiction, she was there. And of course, in 2018, a little over 4 years ago, she literally saved my father's life. You know, his neck, the muscles had been taken out. He'd been ravaged by cancer treatments. He'd had radiation treatments, other treatments, his neck, and then his carotid artery burst right in the great room in our family home. And my mother instantly went and got towels and applied pressure to that wound and somehow got him in the car and somehow got him to the emergency room and never stopped applying the pressure until the doctors and nurses at Alamance Memorial took over and saved his life. And that is why my brothers and I and my children and my niece and nephew still have their granddaddy today, because of Mimi's calm efficiency under greatest duress. In the 4.5 years that followed that day, Jason talked about this a little bit, my mother's almost never left my father's side. She did get a caregiver to help the last couple years. Her last years were spent appropriately enough taking care of the man she long loved so much. And I know Daddy's worried what life's going to be like without her. I know she'd be worried too. All I can say is, you know, your boys have got this. We love you. She loved you so much. I don't know why she left us now, but as she goes to God, adios. For us, it's hasta la vista. Daddy, Kenny, Jason, Spencer, and me, our spouses, Haley, Ben, Tom, Liz, all the family and friends gathered here today, it's until we meet again. Now, here in your earthly life, Harriet Eiler Copeland, you were not known for your patience. But take heart and hang in there. We'll be with you before too long.
A reading from the book of Proverbs. A capable wife, who can find? She is far more precious than jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not harm all the days of her life. She considers a field and buys it. With the fruit of her hands, she plants a vineyard. She girds herself with strength and makes her arms strong. She opens her hand to the poor and reaches out her hands to the needy. Her husband is known in the city gates, taking his seat among the elders of the land. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she laughs at the time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her happy. Her husband, too, and he praises her. Many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her a share in the fruit of her hands and let her works praise her in the city gates. Word of God, word of life. Thanks be to God. And will you please stand to receive the gospel? The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the first chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. In those days, Mary set out and went with haste to a Judean town in the hill country, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why has this happened to me, that the mother of my Lord comes to me? For as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord." This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. And let us pray. Holy Father, in this time of sorrow, comfort us with your presence. Console all who mourn with the hope of resurrection life given in your Son, Jesus. Fill us with your love and grace as we commend Harriet to your eternal care, care that sustained her in this life and carries her into eternity. Amen. This morning we do gather to remember our sister in Christ, Harriet Spencer Eiler Copeland, a beloved sister, mother, grandmother, and friend. We also gather to be comforted by God's eternal love and be filled with hope through the forgiveness, life, and salvation given through the cross and resurrection of Jesus. First, I want to thank Ken and Jason and Jim for sharing their thoughts and memories of Harriet and for painting an interesting and beautiful picture of her life. Picture that you painted just now and in Harriet's obituary and revealed a woman who fits the description of the faithful wife in Proverbs 31 and then some. Her life in many ways reflected those ancient words of wisdom. Very talented and intelligent woman with a strong character and will, but yet loving and caring. And went out of her way to take care of others. Generous and giving. Those things served her well, not only in her teaching, but more importantly, they served her well in her true vocation as a homemaker, wife, mother, and grandmother. As you heard, for 54 years, she and Jim had a partnership in which she created a loving home, raising three sons. Faithful wife who lovingly took care of Jim throughout his many struggles. A loving and caring mother who was tough, it sounds, but tough in a way as you said, to sharpen and bring that iron to strength. Involved in her boy's life. Proud of each of you because the times I got to visit with she and your father, that's who she talked about. It was you guys, what we were doing, what you were, where you were at. She wanted to make sure I knew who you were as well as the grandchildren. You said it and I picked up on it. She shared her love by sharing gifts and she loved giving gifts for birthdays, anniversaries, and especially, as you said, Christmas, her most special time. And it was definitely a blessing for you to be able to gather that one last time for Christmas. It came as a shock to everyone this past week that Harriet passed from this life so soon after that celebration. No warning signs whatsoever. But just as none of us has the power to determine when we are conceived, so too none of us possess the power to determine when death comes. The shadow of death is always upon us. It looms in obscurity, in the shadows, coming upon us at an unexpected time. As we slip into that darkness of non-existence. Yet in this Christmastide, we celebrate the light that has penetrated and overpowered that darkness. It's the light of the Savior that illuminates this world of sin and death with grace and truth and love. The light that shines in the darkness, which the darkness cannot overcome. Jesus Christ, the Word of God in the flesh, came into this world of sin and death to bring forgiveness, salvation, and life. Out of deep love for the world that God created and for those created in God's image, God our Father sent Jesus, whose conception and birth were foretold by ancient prophets. And caused the prophet John the Baptist to leap for joy in his mother's womb as he heard the voice of Mary. His birth was heralded by angels and shepherds announcing the long-awaited Savior, the Messiah of God had come. God gave the gift of Jesus to the world. And Jesus brought with Him the magnificent gift of God's grace for all. For this child was born under the same shadow that we stand, the shadow of death. The shadow of the cross was cast upon Him already at birth. Born a King and a Savior whose mission and purpose was to destroy sin and death once for all. Through death itself. On the cross, the Savior gave His life to free us from sin and death. Under the shadow of death, Jesus destroyed its power. He gave His life for ours so that we might no longer remain captive to sin, but instead are now freed and restored to God our Creator. Restored in a life of forgiveness and a life of righteousness. Jesus exchanged His life for ours, redeeming us from the oppressive rule and nature of sin. Bearing the punishment of our sin upon Himself and suffering death that we might be free. Liberated to live a new life in the light of God's mercy and love. Jesus died for our freedom, but death did not overcome the light of the world. For in the darkness of the grave, the light shone again. Its brilliance filled the darkness of the grave. Just as God spoke light into the darkness, in the beginning, God again spoke, and the light of Jesus filled the tomb. Jesus was raised from the dead. so that death would no longer have the final word. Life is now the ultimate and final word from God. The word spoken into the deep darkness of death that filled its gloom with brilliant light. Now in Jesus, by His cross and resurrection, sin and death have been defeated, and a new and glorious day awaits us. For God has promised that a new day is coming. A day when sin and death will be no more. The day which we await with eager anticipation. The day when Christ Jesus comes again and the fullness of God's reign is revealed. On that day, those who belong to Jesus shall be raised from the dead to live with Him forever. We who have been baptized into Christ Jesus, baptized into His death, have been washed. We have been cleansed from our sin, forgiven, renewed, and restored to our Heavenly Father. We've been joined to Jesus' resurrection as well, through which we have received the promise of eternal life. That just as Jesus was raised from the dead, so we too shall be raised. Raised to live with our God forever. The promise of everlasting life fills us with hope as the shadow of death is cast upon us. It comforts us in our sorrow and our mourning because it promises that a new day is on the horizon. Echoing the words of Elizabeth, blessed are they who believe there will be a fulfillment of what has been spoken to us by the Lord. We are blessed now to live in faith. Faith in the faithfulness of Jesus. We're also blessed because we are assured that death has been overcome, even though it looks as if it has won the day. In faith and hope, we commend Harriet to God's care as she rests in His peace. Death has cast its shadow upon her, but she now rests in the brilliant light of Jesus. God claimed her and made her His own when she was baptized into Christ and joined to His death and resurrection. And God declared her to be His beloved daughter, our sister in Christ. And even though we mourn her death, we do so in hope. Hope given to us in Jesus. Hope for that promised day when sin and death will be no more, when God will wipe every tear of mourning and sorrow from every eye. And we shall dwell with Him, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, forever. Blessed are we who cling in faith to the hope of that promised day. For it is the source of our comfort and our peace. Amen. We rise for our hymn. God has made us His children through our baptism into Christ Jesus, living together in trust and hope. We confess our faith with the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day He rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and He will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. And let us pray. Almighty God, in holy baptism, You have knit Your chosen people together into one communion of saints in the body of Christ. Give to Your whole church in heaven and on earth Your light and Your peace. God of mercy, hear our prayer. Grant that all who have been baptized into Christ's death and resurrection may die to sin and rise to share the new life in Christ. God of mercy, hear our prayer. Give courage and faith to all who mourn, and a sure and certain hope in Your loving care, that casting all their sorrow on You, they may have strength for the days ahead. God of mercy, hear our prayer. Grant to us who are still in our pilgrimage and who walk as yet by faith, that where this world groans in grief and pain, Your Holy Spirit may lead us to bear witness to Your light and life. God of mercy, hear our prayer. Help us in the midst of things we cannot understand to believe and trust in the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, and the resurrection to life everlasting. God of mercy, hear our prayer. God of all grace, we give You thanks because by His death, our Savior, Jesus Christ, destroyed the power of death. And by His resurrection, He opened the kingdom of heaven to all believers. Make us certain that because He lives, we shall live also. And that neither death nor life, nor things present nor things to come, will be able to separate us from Your love in Christ Jesus our Lord, who lives and reigns with You and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Lord, remember us in Your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Let us commend our sister, Harriet Eiler Copeland, to the mercy of God, our Maker and Redeemer. Into Your hands, O merciful Savior, we commend Your servant Harriet. Acknowledge, we humbly beseech You, a sheep of Your own fold, a lamb of Your own flock, a sinner of Your own redeeming. Receive her into the arms of Your mercy, into the blessed rest of everlasting peace, and into the glorious company of the saints in light. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen. Let us go forth in peace. In the name of Christ. Amen.